This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Everybody jump.
Good Wednesday to one and all. It is Taz and the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio as we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, National Mortgage Lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, make sure to go out there mortgage confidently. You got Tom DiBenedetto across the way. I've not worked with Tommy, about 5 years? I think about like that, right? Fresh off the overnights, now doing with Amy and doing some other things now. Pete Bilotti. Across the way as well.
You know,
Bogish with the updates, and he's sitting in for Taz here on this Wednesday morning as well.
Moose, good morning.
Yes. Read in between the lines.
We still haven't really dissected all that was Pete's absence on Monday morning. I don't know if we have time for that today, but you cannot let him get away with what he pulled Sunday night into Monday. Well, if you need me to drop the hammer, I will, but I think you should do it.
Well,
because you're the real victim here.
Thank you. I'm the victim, yeah. I thought, like I said on Monday, I thought we upgraded. Sorry, Pete.
Hey, no offense.
No, that's all right. We'll get into it. We'll get into it over the course of the next 3 hours.
Pete thinks he upgraded as well.
We take it, I'm sure. We'll take you right up until 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern time. It's up until 9 a.m. Eastern time, 6 Pacific, as we go for the next 3 hours right here on CBS Sports Radio, Sirius and XM 206 app as well. And we got a lot of things to get into. Amy Trask is going to join us a little later on the program, coming up at 8:25 a.m. And she does a fantastic job on CBS Sports, former Raider executive. So we'll talk a little National Football League with Amy. And we've got college picks. We've got NFL picks. We've got the three, just a cavalcade as we get you set for Thanksgiving and a special Thanksgiving edition of BCS Bench Cut Star coming up later on the program as well. But we begin with the latest college football rankings, and the more things change, the more things stay the same. And you look at what the latest unveiling, Andrew, and aside from Central Florida now finally cracking the top 10, that's basically it. I mean, that is it. The top eight remain wholeheartedly the same. You look at Alabama, clearly the number one team in the land. Clemson, as we talked to Tommy Bowden a couple days ago, he thinks the Clemson Tigers are the team that is the biggest threat, if there is one, to Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide. You got the Irish fresh off their 36-3 dismantling of the Cuse. They remain at number three. And Michigan getting set for Ohio State this Saturday. They're sitting there at number four. And like we've all predicted, the only way that it changes, aside from a loss by one of these two respective programs outside of the number one Alabama Crimson Tide, and even if they should lose, say, the SEC championship game to Georgia, they're still going to be in the top four, because I don't think there's anybody that has watched this college football season and thinks that they're not the best team in the land. And even if they should lose the SEC title game, that they wouldn't be deserving of being a top four team. But the only thing that would make you nervous if you were a Wolverine fan sitting there, if Georgia should beat Alabama in the SEC title game, then Georgia would probably get into the top four in all likelihood with that victory. And Michigan, regardless of, even if they beat Ohio State and win the Big Ten title game, Michigan would be on the outside looking in. That's basically it.
Yeah, I mean, first things first for Michigan, everything is leaning towards them beating Ohio State this weekend, and rightfully so. And finally,
well, they're the better football team.
Right, and they're finally going to solve this thing. But, man, on the flip side, all I keep thinking about that this sets up to be the perfect scenario for Ohio State to continue its dominance, to somehow find a way to beat this Michigan team, and for them, relatively speaking, to somehow steal some spotlight, some significance, some positives out of a train wreck of a season to take the Wolverines out of the playoff picture. I don't think it's going to happen, but my brain keeps spinning that way. Like, as everybody keeps going towards Michigan, and this is the year, this will be it, here they go, they finally, and then we move on to the Big Ten title game. I mean, this would be the time for Ohio State to come roaring through.
To look at that for a second here, what would lead you, having watched both of these teams play?
Nothing about them right now.
Aside from this game being in Columbus, Ohio, what would lead you to think that Ohio State is in? And I don't know whether it be Tom Brady on local radio up in Boston saying that this is our year, whether it be every Michigan alum that I know thinking that they're going to win. Some think the game is going to be closer than others, but they think they're going to win regardless. What would lead you to think logically, though? And I know sometimes in sports you throw logic out, but everything points to a Wolverine victory on Saturday.
Yeah. No, nothing.
They're the better team.
Nothing specific about the matchup, player to player, offense versus defense. Nothing about that. I don't see. You know, I'm not trying to be smart and like, oh, I see this advantage here.
I know the point you're making.
When rivals meet, to use the cliche, a lot of things don't matter, and all bets are off. And if Ohio State was ever, you know, this would be the gut punch of recent gut punches from the Buckeyes to the Wolverines to beat them in this scenario when no one thinks they're going to do it and to ruin their playoff chances.
I mean,
that's what it is. That's what makes me think it could be. I don't think it's going to happen.
The only argument, the thing
to throw out there.
The only argument I would make for Ohio State to win this game is this: that it turns into a high scoring affair.
Right.
That Don Banks' defense for the Wolverines have struggled with spread offenses. And if you spread them out and Haskins has himself an unbelievable game, maybe Ohio State, I think if they get mano a mano score for score, I would give the Buckeyes the favorite because I think they're the more explosive team. So if the Wolverine defense struggles on Saturday in Columbus, Ohio, I think the Wolverines are going to be up. That would be the argument to be made for the Wolverines. Even though I think Shea Patterson has gotten better as this season has gone along, it's not an offense that really suits his skill set. He's more of a spread quarterback, but having watched him in person when the Wolverines visited Piscataway and dismantled Rutgers 42-7, you see Patterson, and he can make all kinds of throws. He's certainly a very, very talented collegiate quarterback and probably the most talented quarterback that Harbaugh has had in Ann Arbor. But the argument there would be made, Michigan wants to win this game and be a slugfest. Play defense, run it with Higdon. They don't want to go mano a mano, score for score. If it gets into that type of game, I think Ohio State can beat them. If Michigan's not going to be able to go up and down the field, a game like we witnessed between the Rams and Chiefs, and outscore Ohio State, they can't play that way. And I don't think this game plays out that way, but if it should take on that kind of characteristic, then I think Ohio State can win the game.
That's the only way it'll happen.
That's the only way.
It's the only way it'll happen. And I don't think that's what we're going to get when we get to Saturday. I was just, again, this is where my head takes when I hear everybody loving Michigan. Like, this is the time you sneak. And it's an easy game, obviously, to prep for, to pump your guys up for. And it's funny that you were talking about Ohio State, at least in my head, as if they're 1-10, and all they've got left is, I mean, they're still 10-1.
They're still 10-1. You know,
but again, it's
they should have lost to Maryland this past Saturday. Should have lost the game.
10-1 is in context, and all of the real off-field issues and everything else, and Bosa's departure, it has been a trying season for the Buckeyes, some of it deservedly so. But here they are with a chance to continue beating up their boys from upstate, from up north, and this would be as significant a win as they've gotten over them in a long time.
No question about that. And I look at when these college football rankings come out, and they have the stuff and the show, and that's great, and you get the analysis, and it's great that Central Florida is finally in the top 10, deserving after they dismantled Cincinnati this past weekend. And I've made the argument before that Central Florida, I think the only thing to me that would make it very, very intriguing is if Central Florida was in the top four. They're not going to get there because they haven't played the schedule, and they don't have the respect, and certainly they're not coming from a Power 5 conference. And I think if you threw them up against an Alabama, they'd get utterly dismantled and embarrassed. But when you talk about Davids against Goliaths, and what makes the NCAA tournament in basketball so intriguing is when you get those upsets, when you get Maryland, Baltimore County winning a game and upsetting Virginia. I mean, when you get those type of games, when you get Cinderella marching on, you know, that's intriguing. That's interesting. That grabs the nation's attention. But I think Central Florida has done enough to be a top 10. I don't think they're a top 4 program this year. But we all get fired up about the unveiling of the top four. It's almost this year more different than any other year that I can remember. Even with Alabama's dominance in the past, you haven't seen this kind of dominance. Because, oh, Andrew, I don't know what your take on. This is clearly the most dominant team that Saban's ever had. He's had better defensive teams. He's had more defensive talent, guys that went on to play in the National Football League. But there is still pros on that defense, obviously. But this offense, as explosive as it is with Tua at quarterback and him being able to make all the throws, and the modernization of the Alabama offense has taken that program to another level. It's no longer, as we discussed with Les Miles and had fun some yesterday as he had the brain freeze when he gets introduced as Kansas Jayhawk head coach, is that he could emphasize defense and certainly he can recruit. But Les Miles, his failure at LSU was he did not modernize his offense to the college game. In 2012, 2013, 2014, he did not come up to speed. Nick Saban's done that. So when we get this big unveiling, it's almost like, okay, great. Well, yeah, Notre Dame deserves, and they're a really good football team. They deserve to be where they're at, and Clemson is undefeated. I don't think it's the best Clemson team. I think the Watson-Clemson teams were probably better than this rendition. But it's still, it's Alabama and everybody else. It kind of takes away, for me, a little bit of the buzz because I really, just like we all think it's Michigan's year to knock off Ohio State on Saturday, outside of Clemson, I can't really make an argument, and I really have to stretch to make an argument that Clemson could beat Alabama on a neutral site field. I just don't see Lawrence, a freshman quarterback, beating right. Saban in Alabama. It's just hard, and I look at the – it's great. I'm going to watch all the games. I love bowl season. The holidays are here, and tomorrow's Thanksgiving. It's fantastic. But the dominance of Alabama is very similar to the Golden State dominance in the NBA, where you're just kind of clicking down the days and waiting until Nick Saban and Alabama are crowned national champion again.
Yeah, I mean, on one hand, I like knowing who the enemy is. I think things are better when you've got kind of a common opponent, so to speak.
Okay.
Parity is great in theory, but it also, when you have just a bunch of good teams, I don't know that that's actually better than having the one great team that everybody's trying to chase. And I understand that it can get repetitive and boring and tedious when they keep winning. But we've also seen Alabama not win in recent years. I mean, Clemson did get them once. So it's on the table that it doesn't end with them left standing. But we are at a point where one of the Saturday college football recaps, it might have been Andy Staples at SI. I read a bunch of them Saturday night, Sunday morning. But one of them was like wondering if Alabama showed any weaknesses over the last 2 weeks in only beating Mississippi State, I think 24-0, and then being 10-10 at halftime with the Citadel before winning 53 to whatever. So, we're like grasping at straws that they're now not winning significantly enough. And we're wondering if there's some kind of, something somewhere that a better team can poke a hole through. I don't think so. Maybe Georgia's the best chance at somehow them losing, but then obviously not keeping them out of the playoff and then winning it in the end anyway. So I'm not at the point yet where I'm that bothered by it, but I would like somebody to close the gap on them relatively soon.
All right, but do you think the nation has closed the gap on the SEC? Do you think the SEC is as dominant as it was 5-6 years ago? We're discussing Alabama, and I agree with you. If Alabama loses in the SEC championship game and they take a loss to Georgia, they're still going to be in the top four. Georgia's already lost the game.
Right.
And Georgia now has the goal of beating Alabama in the SEC title game that will put them back in, even with a loss. If Notre Dame should have lost to Syracuse, they would have been out.
Yeah.
If Michigan loses to Ohio State, they're going to be out.
Yeah.
They're not going to make the argument for the Wolverines to be in. They'll be on the outside looking in. Do you look at the SEC, and I get when you become a college football fan, it's the SEC and everybody else, and now it's Alabama and everybody else, and I'm not knocking the conference. I love watching SEC football, but does it almost become unfair to the other four Power 5 conferences that the fact that teams down there can actually take a loss during the course of the regular season, and even with other teams taking L's, they're still going to have an opportunity to get themselves back into it when other teams won't?
Well, I mean, but it's really only this year. It's only Alabama that's on that list. I mean, and I think depending on how other things play out, if Clemson loses the ACC title game, Do they just like switch spot? Like, do they drop to four and Notre Dame and Michigan move up to 2 and 3? Like, where would Clemson go if they lost?
I think Clemson would be out.
Well, I guess it depends on what Oklahoma would do too. At West Virginia,
ACC
and then
isn't particularly strong.
No, but Clemson is.
No, Clemson is. But you think Clemson is very similar to Alabama, where they could take a loss in the ACC championship game and still get in? I don't see it.
It depends on what else happens.
All right, Michigan wins.
Michigan wins and Notre Dame wins.
Notre Dame wins.
So they go to 2 and 3 automatically.
Right.
And now we're talking about what Oklahoma does, what Washington State would do, and what Georgia does.
I think Oklahoma would get in.
If they win out.
If Georgia, but then you throw in the big curveball, if Georgia beats Alabama in the SEC championship game, then it would be Georgia.
Yeah, well, let's say that doesn't happen.
Alabama wins. Alabama goes undefeated.
Yeah, I don't know.
So then it would be Alabama, it would be Notre Dame, it would be Michigan, and I then think it would be Oklahoma.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, so I mean, I get it. Notre Dame is one and done, so to speak. If they lose to USC, they're not getting back.
No. They're not losing to USC. They're going to destroy the Trojans. I mean, Clay Helton's right. Dead coach walking. The Trojans are going to be looking for a new head coach after this season. Alabama's the team that could actually lose their last game and still make it.
Yeah,
that's it.
But that's more about them than it is about the SEC. Although LSU did hang with 2 losses. More than teams with 1 loss did near the top of the rankings.
My point is it almost unfair to everybody else? Now we're looking at the Power 5 conferences. We're discussing the haves in college football. But is it almost unfair to everybody else in America that if you're part of that SEC, even if you should lose a game, and even if it's a bad loss, SEC game, you lose an SEC game, that you still have an opportunity if you run the table the rest of the way to get yourself back into it more so than any other one-loss team in other conferences?
Well, I think, though, it's still this is about Alabama, and it's not about the SEC. And now, and part of it, too, is on the other conferences. Like, just be better. Like, get the job done better. Don't take a bad loss here. Don't take a bad loss there. You know, you can make yourself better and force us to pay more attention to you and give you more respect. But the only reason, you know, the SEC's got Alabama, LSU stuck around because one of their losses was to Alabama, and Georgia would get back in despite a loss because they beat Alabama.
Right.
So, I mean, like that, this all revolves around Alabama. Alabama is the reason why we think the SEC is greater than everything else, and Alabama is the one that the rules don't necessarily apply to because they're just that much better than everybody else.
All right, but look at an Oklahoma, which is a national brand.
Yeah.
Right? Well, look at what everything needs to transpire for Oklahoma to get themselves back into the top four. And it's a lot. Alabama, should they lose the SEC title game, they're still going to be in the top four. Georgia then would be in the top four. They would need, you know, Notre Dame is not going to lose. Clemson, even if you lose the ACC championship game, some would still make the argument that you could put Clemson as being a top four team. And a lot of people look at them as clearly the second best team in the nation, better than Oklahoma. Some would make the argument that Clemson is more deserving than Oklahoma. Oklahoma needs a cavalcade of things to happen to get themselves back in, and that's a brand. I mean, Oklahoma football is a national brand. They are a national power, and Kyler Murray is one of the more exciting collegiate quarterbacks, going to go on to play for the Oakland Athletics after this season. But in terms of pure speed and athleticism, And excitement, Kyler Murray is as good as it gets at the quarterback spot in college football.
Yeah, but this is also, too, about what's around Oklahoma. Oklahoma's fighting against unbeaten and a bigger national brand in Notre Dame. Notre Dame lost somewhere, Oklahoma would probably be ahead of them. They're battling an unbeaten Clemson team, and they've got 1-loss Michigan that's right next to them. And we don't know what the gap is between 4 and 5. It might be, you know, hundredths of a point in the mind of this committee, and it's just going to take one little thing to go here and there. To me, the bigger problem in just this particular question from you is that I think there should be 8 spots. I don't think 4 is enough. I think we should have 6, or we should have 8. And then these teams, the conversation shifts to be a little bit different. Then there'd be much more, obviously, attention on UCF getting to number 9. But when you only got 4 spots, like, and you've got 5 big conferences, like, someone just has to get let out.
That's great.
Because
point.
Of the numbers, not because of their resume or their conference resume. 4 is just, to me, not enough. And that's why a team like Oklahoma, who should be in the playoff, who should have a chance to play for a national title because they are that good, doesn't get one right now because there's just not enough seats at the table.
And I think for that argument that you just made, I think eventually we're going to get to eight teams because I think there are going to be teams that are going to be frustrated enough coming out of these Power Five conferences and the dominance of the SEC and having two SEC schools as we saw last year in the playoffs and we'll probably see again. I think the frustration level from that is going to lead you to believe or is going to lead us down the path where we get eight team playoffs. And then you can have an argument where you can make an argument for Central Florida. And this year, if there were eight teams in the playoffs, I think the very fact is that you would have to put Central Florida in.
Yeah, and I think
Central Florida would have to be in.
They're basically now where I think that they should be. Everything else, you know, to me, 8 to 10 was the spot that they should be in all of these rankings, and the coaches' poll got them closer to that, and now they're 9 in the actual ones that matter. Going any farther than that really takes a lot of overconfidence in them and what in terms of, like, beating the team that they're actually moving up against. So I think they're in a good spot right now. I do wish there were more spots in the playoff where they could actually have a chance at proving us right or wrong.
It's a Thanksgiving Eve edition of Taz and the Moose. Bogus sitting in, Mark Melusis with you. We want to hear from you. Is the SEC dominance good for college football? The dominance of Alabama this year and how dynamic that offense is, it good for college football as well? Do you want to see it move from 4 to an 18 playoff? And straight ahead, Malcolm Jenkins awfully critical of his Philadelphia teammates. We'll get into that next. It's Taz, it's Moose, it's a Wednesday morning, CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Rich Ackerman, and I have my eye on college football. Saturday at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on car insurance. All right, Bogus. Let's head down to Birmingham, Alabama. It's Orlando in CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Orlando?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, Orlando?
What I was going to say is this about Central Florida. Okay, even if you expanded the playoffs, right, Central Florida could not be your big dogs in the top part of the league. What I mean by that is, I saw Central Florida, they barely beat the team out on the bench of Troy. But the one I was talking about, they couldn't beat teams like Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, or that other team, Michigan. So, you know, it'll be kind of hard. And I know the reason why that they're not getting the recognition they deserve because of the league they had. What do y'all think about it? And what's up, Taz?
Taz is off this morning, but thanks for
listening. You can take that one, Moose.
Yeah.
I got to type my update.
Orlando's
check
not
out this one.
Orlando's right. Not paying attention. Bogus, you sound a lot like Taz, though. You really do.
Thank you. Thank you.
Just start spitting in the bucket. Anyway, The whole thing of I'd rather see.
Wait, you knew what he said?
Yeah, I heard what he said. He's basically about Central Florida.
Okay.
He was in a wind tunnel. He had something going on. The windows were down. By the way, if you call on your car phone and you got us on speakerphone, just put the windows up, all right?
His first three sentences were completely unintelligible to me. And then he goes, what I mean by that is. I'm like, oh, good, thanks. We're going to get a recap because I missed it at the beginning.
His knock is on. I took it as, now, maybe I'm wrong, and Orlando, if you want to call back, you're more than welcome to and explain it. But I took it as Central Florida, you know, they're knocked for the conference that they're in, no question. But, you know, they're not as good as the teams that are in the top four. No one's making the argument that Central Florida is Michigan, that they're Notre Dame, they're Clemson, they're Alabama this year. But in the spirit of competition, if this was not a field of four, if it was a field of eight, I do not want to see LSU at 9-2 in a field of eight instead of an undefeated 10-0 Central Florida team.
No.
I really don't. I don't need to see a two-loss team in there in LSU. I've already seen LSU, and I get the conference is stronger, but that's the problem I have. You'd still have idiots out there arguing that LSU should be there because of the conference and the teams that they lost to, that they should be deserving of it. You know, they lost to Alabama and lost to Florida, that they should be in there and should be a top-8 team. I'd rather see Central Florida in there. I think it's better for college football if you embrace Cinderella instead of just embracing basically King Kong every single year. And that's what these programs are. They're Goliaths of college football. Every single year, it's the same teams that are coming back. Yes, it's recruiting. Yes, it's coaching. Yes, it's the conference that they play in. It's the perception that this conference is better than that conference. But you do have the rare occasions where teams come together, whether it be by maturation and recruiting, that they do are, even if they're in a smaller conference, Bogish, and you do a lot of small conference college football games, where they are actually could play in a bigger conference and be pretty good in a bigger conference. I'm not saying it happens every single year.
Right.
But there are those examples. Central Florida's won 23 straight games.
Yeah. I mean, and the knock is they don't play defense. Well, I mean, there's a lot of schools that are on this
Oklahoma
list
plays
that,
defense.
Right, that we would put in the playoff without a second thought that don't necessarily play. I mean, Oklahoma just gave 40 points to Kansas and before Les Miles and his offensive genius gets there. They scored 40 on Oklahoma over the weekend. So, you know, that the anti-defense, anti-UCF argument only goes so far. And plus, I think you have to, when we get past the obvious ones, and I think to me right now this year, the obvious ones are probably the top six right now in the college football playoff rankings. From Alabama to Clemson, Notre Dame, Michigan, Oklahoma, and Georgia. Like, those are the ones that make the most sense to me. With all due respect to Washington State, maybe there's seven teams that absolutely deserve to be in. But anyway, once you get past, you know, five or six or seven moves, I think you got to leave room for a school like UCF or Boise in the past or even TCU in the past that's having an unexpectedly or better than normal year.
Agreed.
Where the overall context, shy of just looking at their record and their number, is that they just deserve it. And a 9-2 LSU team, they're good. They might beat UCF, you know, 7 times out of 10 in a series, but they're 9-2, or even, you know, Ohio State's 10-1 right now. It's not the same thing as an unbeaten UCF. Ohio State's having, in all intents and purposes, a bad year, right? I mean, they can't play defense. Bosa's gone. All of those Zach Smith, Urban Meyer stuff, Urban Meyer's health, like, this year is a net negative for them. They shouldn't back their way into an expanded playoff field. When you get to 8, you got to leave a spot, if it's deserved,
if it's deserved.
A school like UCF, and this year it would absolutely be deserved.
Embrace it, no doubt. Totally agree. Ohio, we go. It's Adrian. It's CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Adrian?
Not much, man. How's it going, guys?
Good morning, Adrian.
On my way to work.
Thanks for making the call, bud. What's on your mind?
Well, he just kind of made my point for me there. As you get farther down the line, I don't think Central Florida deserves anywhere near a shot with the 4-team playoff. I don't know if I'd mind quite as much if they made it, you know, if there was an 18 playoff, but, you know, he's saying Ohio State 10-1, maybe they don't deserve it as much, but if they played Central Florida's schedule, their flaws would be more hidden. They just wouldn't be as obvious. They would get a practice game each week. I just don't think when you play that schedule, you should get the same shot as the other teams. You just shouldn't.
But you don't want to see them in the top 4, but you want to see them in the top 8.
Well, I'll say I don't mind as much who number 8 is as I do number 4.
Well, but would you be bothered? Okay, but Adrian, you brought up Ohio State. Say if it was a field of 8 and it came down to Central Florida and Ohio State for that 8th and final spot and they went to Central Florida, would you have an issue with that?
Well, but first of all, let me say this. I know I'm from Ohio, but I'm a Notre Dame fan. But nonetheless, yeah, I kind of would, just because of their schedule. Central Florida might beat Ohio State, but I can't give them that opportunity unless they deserve it. It's similar to boxing, so to speak. You know, you got to work your way up through the ranks where you get a shot at the title. And until you fight somebody good, you just don't deserve a shot at the title.
Now, but
even if you are a better team.
But it's hard to draw that comparison because that's such an individualized sport. And you can work your way up. There's such a small window. When you look at the window of the college football player, in 3 years, Central Florida is going to look completely different. It's this group. It's last year's group. Guys are graduating. They're moving on, whether it be to the pros or whether it be doing something else with their life, and their college playing career comes to an end. I mean, that's where I look. Then you're at such a disadvantage to where you could establish yourself. I could start with a young Central Florida team that's made up a lot of sophomores. They start to establish themselves and say they have one hiccup in their senior year, and that's it. They lose one game, and then that's it. Then you, and then the following year, the team's completely different. You're not going to say, well, I'm going to put Central Florida on this pedestal. No, because they lost their quarterback, lost 3/5 of their offensive line, lost their defensive secondary, guys all graduate. It's a completely different group. If I'm a boxer, I'm a middleweight boxer, I've got years to work my way up the ladder. I could have a 10 or 11-year career, 8 years in, finally get my shot at winning a championship. That window's so small for a college football player.
Well, a football season is a microcosm of that. I mean, it's whatever, 10, 12-game schedule. I mean, I know their conference is their conference. We'll schedule a couple of big teams from out of conference. That, you know, I hate to see this group of guys, because I agree with you, to lose, not get that shot because they deserve it. And I think they probably could beat some of those teams up there. It could happen. I just don't think they deserve a shot. That's all.
Adrian, have a good day at work. We appreciate the call.
You know, and Adrian's point about the schedule and the difference in competition, I mean, is a valid one. I think the bigger question is not what Ohio State would do with UCF's schedule. It's what UCF would do with Ohio State's schedule. I think you got to project them up. I also think you need to look game to game. I think and you're talking to two guys here who, like I said, best case scenario for UCF is number 8.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I feel comfortable starting to put them. So they're still 4 spots away from a semifinal now, and they would be the last team in my 8 right now. So I'm not saying anywhere that they're world beaters, they're even going to win a game when they got in the postseason. I just think that they've earned themselves a spot in this one. But if you want to pull back on them, which the committee has done until the last 2 weeks, I mean, I think you can look at the schedule that they played, and you can point to it and maybe not being as one-sided as it should be. I mean, if they were 10-0 right now, winning by 40-plus points, like, that to me dismisses part of the competition argument, because they've been smoking all of these crap teams that they have to play. There have been a couple of games this year. I mean, the Temple game where they had a rally in the second half to survive that, but they did survive it. They've given up more points than they would like at certain times. Not every single game has been a blowout. I think you can hold that against them. But at the end of the day, they just keep winning football games, and that does mean something. And they're also not playing in the SWAC. So, I mean, I know the competition is not great, but they're not playing Division III schools either.
And you can look at every team. Michigan barely beat Northwestern.
Right.
Clemson barely beat Syracuse. You go aside from Alabama.
Well, and what do you do with Pitt? What do you do with when you're grasping for straws and looking for comparisons? What do you do with the fact that UCF absolutely smoked Pitt? And Notre Dame at Notre Dame had
barely
to fight off Pitt to the end. What do you do with that?
I agree with you. I totally agree. Let's head out to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. It's Jerome at CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Jerome?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What's going on, Jerome?
Look here, man. UCF definitely, definitely deserves a shot, man. I don't care if you play in the same team over and over. It's hard to win 23 times in a row. It's very hard to do that any kind of way. And they're talking about strength of schedule. Clemson's schedule wasn't very much stronger than UCL's schedule. And I know, talking to a bad boy at the beginning, when season started, there's no way in ATLL, he said, that they would even consider UCF. Now, yesterday he was thinking the only possible scenario that they could get in there with, now everybody's changing about it, UCF deserves a shot.
Well, listen, Jerome, and the one thing I would say about this is the message they sent across America and the landscape this past weekend was clear and distinct. Everyone thought, a lot of people, like Cincinnati, to beat Central Florida, and they dismantled them. I mean, honestly, they utterly and completely dismantled them. And that's why it makes an older – to do anything great and to be victorious 23 straight times in a row, especially in very, very difficult to do over the course of 2 years. Very difficult to do. Let's head out to Pennsylvania. It's Jared at CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Jared?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
What's going on, brother?
First of all, being Thanksgiving tomorrow, you know, I listen to you guys every morning. I'm thankful for you guys. So hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Jared, you and your family as well. We appreciate you listening every day, man.
Yeah, every day. Thank you so much. But I want to talk about this Central Florida thing, and I'm going to take a little bit different spin on it for this season anyway. You know, they were cute last year. They were fun last year. But then, for me, the sourness happened when they self-proclaimed them national champion.
I mean, that's ridiculous. And, you're right.
Well, I don't even know if you understand how far it went. Like, I have a friend that goes to Central Florida, and he said, and I didn't even know this, but the Florida House passed a bill allowing – it to be on license plates down there to say UCF national champion.
Yeah, I got mad watching the game the other day when they pan up to the press box in the suite level and it says 2017 national champs. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I mean, it's ridiculous. So I'm just wondering what your thought is that can't sit well with a committee, you know? And do you think that goes into the decision whatsoever if UCF does get in it, that they have kind of almost, if you want to say, spit in the face of the committee last season saying, you were wrong about us, and we are going to basically proclaim ourselves national champions.
You know what, Jared? I hope not. I mean, I hope not. I hope that, and Jared, have a good Thanksgiving to you and your family. Appreciate the call. I mean, I hope that is not part of the equation or that's coming into the debate. That's in the mind of this selection committee. I don't think it is. I think everyone, now they took it a little too far. They were having some fun initially. Then they kept on ramping it up more and more and more. Parade, banner, I mean, they did everything they could to celebrate, and then were taking jabs at Alabama. Listen, let them have their fun as a program. That's all well and good. I don't think so. I think it's more of a case of Central Florida is in this pigeonhole, and this is what they are as a program, and they are not on the level of Alabama. They're not on the level of an ACC team. They're not on the level of a Big Ten team. They're not on the level of a Pac-12 team. They're not on the level of a Big 12 team. Because of the conference and the history that they've established, but the conference that they're coming from, that's what Central Florida, nice story last year. They're not going to do it again. We need to see them do it again. Now they're doing it again, and unfortunately, they're going to be on the outside looking in. Because even if they go undefeated, they're not getting there. They're not going to get there. And I don't see a path for them to get there.
No, and I don't think there's a permutation where they're the fourth best team in the country.
Yeah.
Top eight, again, for sure, but top four, no. And that's fine. They have to deal with that, and it is what it is. But it's just not in the cards for them at the moment.
All right, we got college football coming up, but Bogus, you got a quick update.
Take it away, Rob. It's brought to you by the YMCA. The YMCA, committed to opportunities for all and the belief that no one should be defined by the zip code they're born into. Support your local Y at YMCA.net/forabetterus. So just to recap, 1-4, in fact, I think it's 1-8 remains the same this week in the college football playoff rankings. Alabama, Michigan, Clemson, Notre Dame remain your projected semifinals, with UCF moving up to number 9, jumping Ohio State. Number 9, by the way, is the highest a Group of 5 school has ever been in the short history of this list. From the NFL, the Bears are, quote, cautiously optimistic. Mitchell Trubisky plays tomorrow against the Lions. Trubisky didn't practice yesterday after hurting his right shoulder late in Sunday night's win over the Vikings. Now, the last time we saw the Wizards, John Wall was getting fined for cursing out head coach Scott Brooks at practice. Back on the court last night, they fell behind the Clippers by 24 in the second quarter. And then one.
39 seconds left of the game. Wall, guarded by Bradley. Foul line to the basket. Oh, lays it up and in. Up and in. Wizards back up by 8. 123-115. 34 seconds to go.
That's Dave Johnson on Wizards Radio. John Wall, Bradley Beal, Jeff Green each scored 10 points in the fourth for the 125-118 win. That's how the Clippers' 5-game winning streak ends. The Raptors fought off the Magic 93-91 on Danny Green's jump with half a second left. The Blazers rallied past the Knicks 118-114. And the Nets won in Miami 104-92. The Heat have lost 5 straight at home. Number 1 Duke finally playing a close game last night. They survived 78-72 over 8th-ranked Auburn in the Maui Invitational Semifinals. Number 3 Gonzaga won the other one, 91-74 over Arizona. And the Edmonton Oilers beat the San Jose Sharks last night 4-3 in overtime, hours after firing head coach Todd McClellan and hiring Ken Hitchcock. Moose?
All right. Thank you, Bogus. We've got a lot to get into. All right, so we take it right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. We got a special Thanksgiving BCS. We've got college picks. We've got NFL picks. Amy Trask will join Bogus and myself a little later on the program as well as we get you set for the big Turkey Day holiday tomorrow. It's Taz Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
The Taz and Moose picks are for fun only. This is not for gambling purposes, just some chuckles and a good time. Enjoy the Taz and Moose picks now. Listen irresponsibly.
It's now time for the Taz and Moose College Football Picks. The three picks you need to know.
All right, Tommy, where do we stand?
Moose, you are 19-16-1 this year, coming off a 1-2 week last week. Taz, 15-20-1, also coming off a 1-2 week.
All right, here we go. My first pick, we're going to go Saturday high noon, Columbus, Ohio, Big Horseshoe. I'm going to take the Wolverines. I'm going to lay 4 against Ohio State. I just think they're the better football team. The line, I think, is begging you to take the Buckeyes. They're a home dog, +4. However, I just don't trust that Buckeye defense. Give me the Wolverines. Give me Dom Banks on that defense. And give me Shea Patterson and Higdon running the football. I'm going to take the Wolverines. Better team. Finally, Wolverines topple Ohio State. Give me Michigan laying 4. All right, Taz, what says you?
We have UCF, the Golden Knights, going for University of South Florida, the Bulls, as they call them. Yes, the Bulls are a home dog at +14. Trust me when I tell you it's not enough. I'll take UCF on the road. Milton will be playing up a muck. I'll take the Golden Knights. I'm a believer now. They're sitting 10-0. They're the real deal. I was doubting them a little bit. I'm not doubting them anymore. You could take your +14 UCF. Bulls, Bull Dinky. Okay, I like UCF to win by 20.
Okay, there you go. Andrew, take it away.
Oh, thanks, Taz. Moose challenged me. I think as a joke, I took it seriously to pick only teams involving birds.
Yes.
As a Thanksgiving connection. You. So we begin with the Boston College Eagles, who are hosting number 20 Syracuse, fresh off that field goal saving shutout or shutout saving field goal at Yankee Stadium. I'm going to take BC. I think they're -7 at home. Actually, I'm going to take Syracuse. I feel like Taz now.
Syracuse +7.
+7, okay. At BC.
All right, Syracuse +7. There you go. So you didn't take the Eagle. You took the Orange.
Betting games involve the Eagles or
all
birds.
Right. It is rivalry week. I'm going to take 11th-ranked Florida. I'm going to lay the 6 on the road, Florida State, in Tallahassee. Listen, the Seminole season, it's been a lost year, and I know this is for a bowl game. I get it. You look at the Florida Gators, I just think for Mullen and Florida, this has a big-time recruiting impact long-term, especially moving forward. Give me the Gators laying the 6. That's pick 2 for me. Taz?
We got an 8 p.m. game. We got OU sitting at number 6 in the country, battling the Mountaineers of West Virginia sitting at 9. Oh, buddy. I'm telling you this right now. It's going to be a beauty. West Virginia is a home dog at +1.5. Give me the Sooners. Kyler Murray Jones. Kyler Murray's going to run up a muck. It's going to be a close game. Give me the Sooners, though. I feel Oklahoma, as the visitor, wins by 3. I'll take Oklahoma. Best regards, Taz.
There you go. All right, Bogus.
Thanks,
what
Taz.
Says you?
Bird-related pick number 2, the Gamecocks of South Carolina.
Nice.
Double-checked. That is a bird. I'm going to take Clemson, though, laying 26.5. Like the Tigers a lot in this one.
All right, so there you go. Pick 3 for me. We're going to go to Friday, 8:30 kickoff, Fox. Pullman, Washington. I'm going to take the Cougars of Washington State. I'm going to lay the 2.5 to knock off Washington. I think a lot of people were expecting Arizona to play Washington State tough last week. We saw Leach's team run it up. They're 10-1, in-state rivalry. I know it's the Apple Cup is on the line. Give me the Cougars laying the 2.5. That's pick number 3 for me. Taz, what says you?
We got nighttime city, a little West Coast action here. We got University of Washington at 18 in the country. Going against the Cougars, the mighty Cougars of Washington State at 8 in the country. Well, the Cougars, they're home, and they are -2.5. I got to tell you, -2.5, my booty. Okay, I like Washington. I like Washington a lot beginning of the year. I don't like them enough to deal with the Cougars. The Cougars win the game. Give me Washington State. Give me the Cougars at home. Okay, I don't care. They're going to cover. They're going to win by 7. I will take Washington State over Washington. Thank you. I'm
all
Taz.
Right, there you go. All right, Andrew, what do you say to you?
Third and final bird-related pick, Moose. Not sure they do lines on FCS playoffs, but here we go. The Delaware Blue Hens in
an
upset.
My God.
Are going to win a JMU, and that's for our
seriously?
Good friend Paul Nanos, who loves my Delaware references. So I'm killing 2 birds with 1 stone.
Yeah, what is that? Why does Nanos take reference every single day about
there
your
there was a lot on Monday, so I took yesterday off, and now here we are back again.
Well, we
Delaware.
Set the over-under at 4 for every show for you to mention Delaware.
There's 1. Ding.
Although you mentioned it three times.
No, it's an all-encompassing mention. It's got to be separate mentions.
Thank you. Very nice. No, I think it doesn't matter. So what are your three picks in total? You like Delaware?
Syracuse plus 7, Clemson minus 26.5, and technically Kentucky minus 17 against Louisville. Last-minute change to Delaware over JMU.
All right.
Outright.
Give me Washington State laying the 2.5, Michigan laying the 4, and Florida laying the 6 in Tallahassee over the Florida State Seminoles. There are your college picks, as it is rivalry week in college football. We'll look ahead to all the football action tomorrow and Sunday as well, as week 12 in the National Football League is upon us. We'll do that next. It's a Wednesday, Thanksgiving Eve edition of Taz and the Moose. Bogish in the house, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.